Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Name Redacted. This is Colin Norris coming to you live from Ardmore, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. With me as always is my hetero life mate, Alex Fulmer.
Hello.
We've got a rather large panel of guests tonight. It's sort of an extra special episode, I guess you could say.
I think that's fairly accurate of a description.
It's like when Tootie got her first period on Facts of Life.
I don't have a response to it, and I'm okay with it that way, so I'm going to let it just keep going.
All right, so welcome.
Indeed, welcome.
Today's episode is brought to you by the word topic.
Thanks, Lord. with us tonight, we're going to go around the horn, starting to my right. With us tonight, we have...
I'm John Michael Thomas, coming back. I was on the first episode, and I'm glad to be back.
This is Chris Nielsen. I'll talk about myself way too much. I don't need to do that now.
As long as you don't talk about your penis.
That might come up.
My job.
Might come up.
You ruined the joke.
I'm Jeff Shaman. This is my first...
Well, sorry, did you say Joe Shaman?
Jeff. this is my first time on here. I brought some beers and we're gonna sample them.
You just ruined. There's no reason for them to listen to it anymore.
Well, now I know what's gonna happen the whole episode. I'm done.
Spoilers.
And I'm Kevin Merrill, coming back again from the Three Beards podcast. Check it out.
And I'm Katie Goldberg, the costume wizard.
Indeed.
Keep forgetting a wizard. Key part of that.
The Jewish costume wizard. Thank you. That's totally self-explanatory because I said Goldberg.
No, that we're in the South. Jews are like Sasquatch around here.
I am Sasquatch.
Totally real, but not.
And Goldberg just means wrestling.
Exactly.
I think that you're like really overestimating the intelligence of people listening. Just kidding, guys. You're smart.
you're overestimating the intelligence of the people sitting around you.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm a Jew. Hi, my name is Katie, and I am a Jew.
That's something you and Jesus have in common.
It's true.
That and the wizard thing. I think he was the first magician. See this bread? Na 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 na. Two breads.
Man, Jesus was at least level 9.
I think Jesus was more of a mage.
I don't know. What level do you need to be to create food?
That's level two.
That's elementary.
Okay, so well then that's not even. Walking out water. What level is that? Is that
prestidigitation is all you really
that's,
need?
Yeah, you if... need. That's level one. That's a level one.
So clearly,
spell.
Jesus is just a level two wizard.
No. Because on the top
died
of my head,
back.
if you're walking on water, that could easily be a fly spell, and him just using clever like.
He's a lich.
Well, I'm actually going to field that one as a yeah. I'll take it, and I'll high five it.
Boom!
Okay,
first topic.
Yeah, today, actually, it's really going to be
focused.
Wait,
I'm not the only one doing this.
What?
No, you weren't, because I did.
Cool.
Yeah, no, but plus I don't have any yet.
Okay.
No. So what we're going to do is I'll go ahead and I'll kind of let you guys in on what exactly is happening tonight.
No.
Shut up, man. Our guest for tonight, that is our very special guest, is somebody we talked about coming on for a few weeks now, and we reference him a lot, and it is our good friend Jeff Shaman, and he is here to talk about his craft brewing that he does with beer. So it is going to be him kind of introducing himself for everybody, and you're going to hear that in a second, and also us doing a big old like sample tasting of a lot of his beer. So those of you who are beer nerds and whatnot, this one's really for you, because we are going super heavy on beer talk tonight.
Yeah.
And for people who aren't, to kind of give them some examples of stuff maybe they should try.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like a lot of people out there feel like there's only, like, Bud Light or Mech Ultra. Well, you know what I mean. Like, when you go to a bar, you see, like, so many people who that's all they drink. And they have no idea what they like until they try something different. So,
oh, my God, Hoegaarden is amazing. You've never heard of Hoegaarden? No, I'm 28.
Yeah, people Hoegaarden really like need Kool-Aid. To expand their horizon. Absolutely. There's so much out there. It's ridiculous.
Especially in North Carolina, where we have, like, some of the most breweries.
We have one right here, Foothills.
Mm-hmm. We've got two more coming up. We got Small Batch Brewery and Hoots Roller Beer Bar and Brewery. Just opened.
I'm really excited about Small Batch coming through because I've been hearing such good things.
Yeah. And we also have Oscar Blues here now.
I just had one of their Imperial Stouts the other night.
It's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
They opened up.
Chris and I drank it the other night.
They opened up a tertiary brewery in Western North Carolina because of the water.
Guys, I got drunk off like 4 ounces of that.
It's 11.5% or 10.5%.
Yeah, dude. Like, I got 4 ounces, and it was like I took a shot of, like, you know, 40 proof liquor.
Don't you love daddy beer?
Here you go, son.
Have a little bit. Oh, God.
Oh, I get it. That just whooshed for a second for me. And then...
Are you teething? You should have a little bit of this. Dad, I'm 14. Yeah, I know. Have some, I guess.
Go to sleep.
So I guess I'd really like to just go ahead and throw it over to Jeff. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do and kind of start getting into the beers, and we'll just kind of take it from there.
Yeah, I started actually homebrewing, I guess, about 2.5 years ago.
So when you were 19?
Yeah, I was 19.
I'm sorry, you just have such a baby face, and I love it.
Yeah,
Says the baby face.
I actually just turned 26.
Oh, shit, I keep forgetting Jeff's older than me.
I'm the oldest person here.
Yeah. I'm number 3. And I always forget that Chris is younger than me.
It doesn't make any sense. It's the beards.
Today is not about my penis. Today is about Chris's penis.
Honestly, I asked for this.
Yeah.
You did.
And we'll get into that probably.
Jeff, talk about yourself. Be a narcissist. Yes.
Beer, yes. Yeah, I started about 2.5 years ago with a buddy of mine, Stephen Hall. We were at some party, and we were just drinking beers and stuff. And we're like, we should just, you know, make our own beer. Like, it can't be that hard, you know? So we just went out and started buying shit and started looking up recipes, and they were terrible in the beginning.
It's actually the day I met Jeff.
Yes, at Steven's house.
I was over hanging out with Steven's brother, and they were brewing beer. That was the day I met Jeff.
You were playing some game, and
yeah.
I'm like, who's this blue-haired dude?
It was the fucking Smurf on the couch.
Yeah, and eventually we got better, and they're actually pretty decent today, from what I hear.
Yep.
We don't know yet. We haven't tried it.
Yeah, I have one. I'll take it as a yes.
I brought 6 different kinds tonight. I have the rye wheat. I have a hoppier amber beer, an IPA, a lager, a brown ale, and a milk stout.
Thank you.
So they should be pretty delicious.
My favorite memory of Jeff is we were at a show at KD.
Sam Martin's house.
It was TYP House?
It was TYP House.
Yeah.
All right, we were a show at TYP House, and Chris Nielsen walks up to me, and I'm pretty spun at the moment. I'm not going to say exactly what was going on.
Woohoo!
I was pretty spun at the moment, and he was like, "Hey man, Jeff's here with some beer." I'm like, sweet, more beer!
And homebrew beer!
And he didn't even tell me that. So we go outside, Nielsen and I go outside, and like...
It was pretty shady, too.
Yeah, well, it was completely shady. I felt like we
I
were
was
doing...
like, rolling up with a bottle.
Sam Martin lives in an industrial district.
Yeah,
he's got the only
like, right off of, like, right close to Florida Street.
Cops coming by, hobos.
As long as we're not having a slap fight, then everybody's good.
Nobody will
get called. So I roll out, and, like, I see Jeff just in his just beautiful skinny man glory holding this bottle of beer and a sampler glass. And he just, like, pours it. And I'm just like...
Classy as fuck.
Where am I right now? And I just take a sip of it.
That was the IPA.
It was the IPA that you guys made.
That shit was strong.
And it was like... He was like, oh, by the way... This is like 9%, and he says that as I down the glass. And I'm just like, that it was a commercial grade IPA. Like, I've had some homebrews where I've been like, oh, that's pretty good, man. You know, keep up the good work. Don't quit your day job. But this was like, I had almost picked something up out of my grocer's freezer.
God, I look good.
Like, it was well-balanced, it was full, it was nice balance of hop and, you know, it was just a perfect IPA. And, like, that's why I was like, this... Because I kind of didn't take you seriously at first, because naturally when you say, I'm a home brewer, that's like...
Yeah, that's what I hear a lot.
But
I build longboards. Sure you do, Alex.
I'm a filmmaker. No, you're not. You fucking write on your MacBook at Starbucks.
You make porn.
Yeah, exactly. But when I tasted your beer, I immediately, like, took you so seriously. And that's why I've been such a big proponent of what you're doing. And you're doing a great job, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, keep it up. And, you know, later if you want to reach around or an HJ, we're good to go.
Try and get
have
that
an old-fashioned.
Hand jibber. I think we're going to start doing the samples now.
Are we done with Get to Know Jeff?
No, he's going to keep talking as he pours.
You can just keep talking.
Okay, so we're not on to the next topic.
No. We're doing the Get to Know Jeff as we pour. That way we, you know, when he gets to the beer, we have it.
Getting to drink you.
So we have the six that he's doing today, which is the amber, the lager. You said a lager as well?
Yes, I have a Vienna lager.
The lager is
amber, dude. Vienna lager, the rye wheat.
It's so
milk
good.
Milk stout, brown ale, and then the IPA.
Yep. Lagers are a bitch. Anyone who is a homebrewer will know that. Lagers take forever.
Explain the difference between a lager and an ale.
Ales are top fermenting.
Okay.
And lagers are bottom fermenting.
So what does that mean in terms of, like...
The yeast and stuff.
Also, the temperature.
I'm asking
and temperature
for those
wise.
Of us who don't know.
For the common man.
For
the layman.
For the plebeian.
Lagers traditionally, prior to, like, modern science, were brewed in cellars. Some places, because they require a much lower temperature for the type of yeast that's being used to survive and actually effectively fermenting the sugars in it.
And it settles on the top.
Okay. And so it also takes a exorbitantly longer amount of time to brew. So
it
you're
took
about
like 4 months.
Four times as long to make a lager?
Yeah, ales are about total, like, fermenting a ale is like 2 weeks, and then... We bottle condition for like another 2 weeks.
Yeah, so like eight times as long actually fermenting.
Yeah.
So. And so the longer like lagers
you can
take
lager things for like months.
And so the longer you lager something,
it develops a
lot more depth of
flavor.
What
we traditionally refer to as a lager is like an American lager or a Vienna lager, which would be a top fermented ale. But you also have things like black beers or black lagers that are top fermented porters or stouts. And those are starting to be a little bit more popular. Like Zingu. I was talking about Zingu.
Zingu black lager, yes. Which is delicious.
So, Guinness, I think, has a black beer now. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Yeah,
they have the...
What is
that called? The
It's the Guinness black lager.
The Guinness black
lager. I think I've even seen a handful of top fermented IPAs.
It's like a Guinness and a Yingling had sex with each other. That's what I think of it as.
And had a weird black baby.
Yeah, it's delicious, though.
I didn't mean that racially.
I was going to say, somebody's going to be like, they're anti-Semitic and they hate the blacks. And that right there sounded racist in his
own. I mean, what they don't know is that we're all Asian, so.
No, I own a Black Star record.
I'm not going to say what I was about to.
No, please.
Yeah, I felt it coming. To make a terrible pun, I felt it brewing.
Oh! Are we doing puns now?
It's like, it what is are you now doing with the big glass. You want a big boy sample?
No, I'm just.
I love puns.
Because he doesn't have a glass. Because Dad has
one. A glass.
No, but I gave one.
Well, there's eight, right?
There's eight.
There's eight of us here. I brought eight glasses.
Well, I'm not sitting on a glass.
Oh, wait. There's one right here.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, great.
And this? I will.
Kevin
I will,
and Katie, you guys are being way too quiet.
I still have another bottle.
What is this?
This is the rye.
We're going to
be drinking the rye.
The rye wheat?
The rye wheat. This one is probably going to be my favorite.
Did I grab the other?
Let me tell you guys a little bit about some wheat beer, or at least mine and Jeff's experience with wheat beer while we're going through this. This was our second attempt at doing a beer.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeff? We fucked up the first one.
Our first beer was terrible. Like, see, we've made exactly one beer that I would deem as undrinkable.
And it was the wheat.
It
was
terrible.
It was like Doug Dynasty wine.
I'll drink most beers.
It was like water, dude. It was just like dirty water.
And it was stupid sweet.
So. I'm not familiar with
that. It was that flaked wheat.
It was the only time we've ever had someone come out and be like, "Yeah, this is good."
I'm not familiar at all with like a rye wheat. I've had like a rye ale, like a rye IPA, but a rye wheat.
It's not a very popular thing.
Wheat beers add a little bit of sweetness.
Yeah,
and this
which
adds
I don't
a little
like,
spice
personally.
And a little bite to it.
So it's an interesting thing. Like I was talking about with the pumpkin beer.
Yeah.
Couple weeks ago, how it had that wheat on top of it. Like, it's an interesting... Throwing wheat into things that aren't normally associated with it is very interesting because you get a different flavor profile than... than you would might normally.
I had to talk a guy out of buying the Sarnak pumpkin today.
Good. Yeah. Good job.
Well done. He bought a couple of them anyway, and I was like, if you don't like them, pawn them off on your friends.
If anybody wants more, I still got some in here.
All right, let's wait for Alex to come back before we taste.
No, I mean, you can put more beer in my glass.
No, he wants more beer. The topic is beer.
It's going to be a little hazy because of the yeast in the bottom.
That is trying to give me the runs.
That is a thing. We don't filter
or beers. Or pasteurize.
So when you pour a bottle of homebrew, don't drink it from the bottle. Don't listen to your friends.
Yeah.
Pour it in a glass.
Unless you're constipated.
Yeah, unless you have to take a shit. That's the best remedy. We actually had that happen to a friend of ours. I brought him some IPAs, and I was like, here you go, I have some IPAs, I'm going to go. And I'm driving home, and I get home, and I was like, oh, shit, I didn't tell him to pour it in a glass. A week later, he's like, man, I drank that whole bottle, and then I didn't feel so good afterwards.
And I shit an entire rainstorm for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You honestly kind of want to let them sit in place for about 3 days, and if you're taking them somewhere, like, keep them in your car, but that's about it. Like, you really want to let it settle, because you don't want to get that suspended sediment.
Yeah, and it'll cake on the bottom if you leave it in your fridge or so.
So,
usually don't get it.
This is the first one we're tasting, and this is the rye wheat, yeah?
This is the rye wheat.
Cool. Put my so everybody, go ahead and start in. I like that today's going to have a tiny bit of dead air with everyone going,
That is a fantastic porch beer.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
That's
a good summer beer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I brewed it a little late. I still have some at the house, but
it's getting late, so like August.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of body to it. You're getting ready for the fall, but it's still warm weather.
I'd say early September would be when I would want this.
This is like smooth as silk.
I want a little more rye next time, I think.
Yeah. How conditioned is this one?
Oh, this has been sitting for like 2 months now.
How do you have the patience to just let beer sit?
I have that milk stout. And that you get like 50 to like 55 bottles. I probably only have like 20 some left.
He always hides a 6-pack for stuff like this.
I still have a bunch of lagers still at my parents' house.
You kind of keep a portfolio of beer so that way you have a couple set aside.
It's just so people can kind of get an idea.
This is a beautiful little wheat ale.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea for a couple of different reasons. One, because, you know, having the portfolio for people to taste and whatnot. And two, to see how far you've come.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is really important. Like, as somebody who does something that's kind of, you know, like artisan crafty, like, it's really nice to be able to look back at the things you did versus the things you're doing now and be like, you know, like, the first stuff I did was okay.
Yeah.
But the stuff I'm doing now is just, it's so much, like, it's leaps and bounds ahead.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm more mature as an artisan,
and your tastes and everything are so much better,
and because it's not just about like, oh, I do this better. It's like I'm refined in the way that I judge it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just being like, well, my old shit is bad by comparison because it was old shit. It's like my old shit is bad because it wasn't good.
And you also
you
pick
were unskilled,
up,
yeah.
And you pick up on good things too. Like the first beer I brewed with you was a stout. It was a vanilla bourbon stout. It was pretty good. But it was before we started doing all grain, so we just bought malt extract.
That actually happened by accident, too.
Yeah, it did. We were planning on... What were we planning on
making? We were going to do a porter.
A vanilla porter, yeah. And but so we made it with a malt. And so we went back after a couple beers like that and drank one of them. We're like, man, this is pretty good to be a malt beer. Like, this might be something we want to revisit as all grain. And then there's things you pick up on that are overtones and stuff in the beer that weren't intentional, where you're like, man, I want to recreate that.
I wanted to mention this, because when I actually got to have the rye wheat before we started, because that was the one that when you told us the list,
bastard.
I was like, well, he brought you an extra milk.
I brought you a rye and a milk.
Yeah, and I have a rye and a milk
bastard.
As well. So.
Yes.
So when I had this before the show, I mentioned something that actually, and it's funny because Jeff gave me this puzzled look, like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. But it has a faint apple taste to it.
Oh, it does, yeah.
Yeah,
it does. And when I said it, Jeff kind of looked over at me and was like, okay.
Totally, I was going for that.
Yeah. And so I was like, and sometimes happy mistakes happen.
That is actually an off flavor.
I fucking love this. This is banana really and clove, good.
But you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I like this. Let's start
pouring the next beer while we're...
Let's keep discussing and whatnot.
Kevin, Katie, you've been drinking, been saying very little.
I've been drinking. We've got to focus on one thing at a time.
It's good. Like, I mean, you said it best when you said it was super smooth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a very beautiful beer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a fan, for sure.
It's like if a light beer was actually a beer.
Is a fantastic way to put it, Joe.
In taste terms, I think we should probably do the lager next.
I was going to say lager.
Because then it's going to get hoppier and darker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you will do the lager. It'll settle. This is my personal favorite.
Is this an amber lager?
I entered this in a contest. There's a scale between like excellent, you know,
poor,
awesome, and so on and so forth. Like five levels. This did very good. This scored like a 60 out of 100, which is pretty hard to do.
That's fantastic. Nice.
This is also
everybody liked this one.
For what it's worth, since I started doing beer with Jeff. I've been riding him real hard about trying to do a lager, and he finally broke down. I was like, "Fuck it, we're gonna do a lager."
Cut this one to here.
Okay. We're gonna do a lager.
This is also
good. And so we did. So this is just the months and months of nagging and nagging. And be like, "Fuck you, Jeff. I want a Brooklyn lager. I want a Full Sail lager. Like, I want to have my own version of that." And
it's a little overcarbonated.
When somebody does a lager well.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah, like I said a couple weeks ago, craft lagers are some of my favorite beers because they're so hard to transport, so hard to come by. Like, it doesn't happen very often because they need to be kept cold. And if you just make, like, a crappy lager or whatever, it's super pasteurized and have a lot of preservatives, you can get it across country. But, you know, IPAs or ales, they'll hold. But, like, lagers are very good beer that people often associate with Budweiser. That's really a shame.
I really think that the American version of a lager has destroyed me. In terms of drinking lager.
Just a comment from inside. My dad is actually also tasting these. And I said, so how do you like the rye wheat? And he looks at me and goes, I really like that. And my dad's a pretty, like, I guess not stringent, but, like, he's a pretty decent critic of beer.
Yeah,
like, he's pretty knowledgeable about it. And he likes a lot of good things. So he's a pretty decent, you know,
judge
of it. Also, the fact that, you know, he's had 40 more years of drinking than we have. So,
and it seems like he's somebody who's interested in beer longer than just the trend of the past 10 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, thank God, we came along in that trend.
Who still didn't get any?
For real. God forbid we got caught up in wine.
well, you know what I love about wine in this state? Is that we're like, we tout wine so high. It's like, woo, North Carolina wines. Like, we have terrible fucking climate for making good wine.
We have terrible wine.
I haven't had any
but,
yet.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's there are far over.
North Carolina makes bum wine that they call craft.
Yeah. There are some decent wines.
There are.
Decent. And I mean, like, decent, what they would consider their high end would be a okay table wine. But if you tried something from, like, the actual Côte d'Aron region of France or, like, the Burgundy region.
Or even, like, a Martha's Vineyard kind of.
Yeah, if you were to try, like, a table wine in Italy or France.
Napa Valley type
it
stuff,
would
too.
Destroy anything of the top dollar.
Oh,
so this is
fuck. Damn, I forgot how much I like this beer.
This is the Vienna Lager. This was
holy shit.
This is by far the most pain in the ass beer I've made yet.
Ooh, girl.
Who
you going home with?
It sat 4 months my chest freezer in my apartment.
We were checking it every single day.
And my ex-fiance kept nagging about it every day.
Wait, you guys also split up in the middle of making the beer, right?
Do you remember that? Yeah.
So we had to actually, this lager happened in Jeff's apartment, and then he had relationship problems, so we actually had to transport it to a new location.
No. We let it finish, and we bottled it there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
we did bottle
it
there. She's like, when are you going to move it? I'm like, it's not done yet.
So is this kind of a vengeance beer?
This is the divorce beer.
Actually, can I ask, do you have names for your beers?
Yeah.
I'm not the very creative one.
No, for this one, the Fuck You Bitch Vienna Lager.
Boom.
I like it.
I was actually going to say you could call this the Brutal Divorce.
Oh, we can try this. Everyone
yes,
try it?
Everyone
oh, dude,
ready?
This is, yep. I already
make sure
did.
You take a full sip, because lagers need to actually take a full sip to.
What do you mean, like a mouthful?
Yeah, just like, drink it like you're drinking it out
like
of a can.
Like a Ron Jeremy.
Dude, we're never going to get off the topic of dicks.
Do you want to suck some dicks?
Guys, this
don't
cocks,
make it weird.
It's, yeah. Oh, this is fantastic.
I mean, yeah. The idea that this would be a lager and also like a Budweiser would be a lager is extraordinary to me, because this is leaps and bounds above.
It should like, be very sweet.
I personally like Yingling.
The carbonation.
And this.
This is actually overcarbonated.
Kicks the shit
out of it. I love it.
When you pour
though,
it
like
in a glass, like a full
like
glass,
that.
You have to do two pours because it...
Yeah. You've
got to
cut
the head
it.
Just goes.
Yeah, you got to take a knife and cut the foam.
It's got like a really rocky head to it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It goes like you'll have like this much beer and like this much head.
I like that.
It's ridiculous.
It's you so, said it's, rocky head.
It's the beer that.
I love how we have one girl on the podcast and she has the filthiest fucking mind.
Sense of humor. 14-year-old boy.
Is that like Roadhead in Australia? Is that?
I would like to revisit the Vienna
Jeff,
Lager.
This is going to be me and Colin asking for more beer all
actually,
night.
You know what? I will actually have a little more.
This is by far...
We are
I told you, Jeff.
In, just FYI.
Jeff, I told you on the Facebook chat that this was going to be my favorite
episode.
This is by far my favorite episode. We're combining all the things that I like. There's boobs here. There's beer here. My friends are here. I am...
Like a 12-year-old boy trying
his first
porno.
Dude, this episode...
You know what?
As
I
Katie,
didn't need you to bring
hey,
up.
Hey, can we dicks. Change the word of the day to porno?
No. No, the topic of the day is topics, so we have to talk about topics.
All right, that's three. I just want to point something out.
Bastard.
One of my favorite phrases ever has actually been coined on this podcast by Katie, and that is full of boobs. She is, when talking about a girl who has a nice big rack, you are saying, that chick is full of boobs.
I have
full of boobs?
Full I just
of
thought boobs. Of an idea for my thesis.
I love that we're deep enough into where we can do callbacks then.
Is that like a sack of dicks, but just with breasts instead?
Basically.
Kinda.
Cool, I like it.
Except that it's actually a literal definition of, you know, how boobalicious
she is. She's full of boobs.
That girl is full of boobs.
She's full of boobs.
So talk to us about, like, the rye the malt content versus the hop, and like what went into this beautiful thing, because that's important. Because it's not if it's just beer, it's you know, barley, water, yeast, barley, whatever. This is a craft beer.
Yes.
Talk to us about how you crafted this beer.
This actually isn't my recipe. I think I have my own recipes. I haven't made any yet. I do have a book that I've been just sampling and perfecting and stuff.
That's sort of half true, because when you take a recipe, a lot of times you will adapt it to...
Yeah, and then, you know, also they don't have the grain you want, so you're like, oh, I'll take, you know, the British or the Canadian or whatever. But yeah, this is, not mine yet. I will next year, when Chris starts bothering the fuck out of me, I will come up with my own. And it probably will be like a Zingu. It'll probably be a Black Lager.
Because
I'm really excited about dark beers.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that in December, maybe.
This one is a Vienna. Like I said, I was really... One of my favorite beers is the Brooklyn Lager. And so I was like, let's make a Vienna. What's it like a Brooklyn? Full Sail was also an influence on this, I think.
If you've ever had Full Sail's... Amber.
It's
similar. They make it amber, but they lagered it.
Yeah, it's
and
a special edition.
Amazing.
Oh,
and
wait,
I haven't
is that
seen
one special
it.
Edition that you were like,
I haven't
made
seen
a...
it since.
Yes. No, they made, what was it like?
It was like, I think, one run.
It was one run. It was like 1,000 sixes
yeah.
or something like that.
Bastard. Oh, it's so
yeah.
good.
Oh, it's amazing. And they actually have the recipe on the bottom of that, so we're going to try to clone that too. But so that's kind of the influence on what this is. I think it has a little bit, for anybody in the region, I feel like it has a little bit of a red oak overtone with kind of like a Yingling
bottom
to
it.
It's
a red oak, but with more body and a little bit more, for lack of a better phrase, soul.
And not as roasted. Like,
yeah.
Red oak is
yeah.
very roasted.
It is very roasted, yeah.
But also inconsistent. Sorry, red oak. Your beer is inconsistent.
They don't filter it. It's good.
That's good. Yeah, I do like that they don't filter it.
It's fine that they don't filter it, but it's inconsistent. I can have one keg that I've, like, as a bartender, I can have one keg of red oak. It tastes amazing, and then I get another keg, and it tastes completely different.
Really?
Yes.
I've never had that happen.
I don't taste the inconsistency
you're not
as
a,
much.
You're not a drunk.
Yeah, I'm not.
You haven't drank too
much. I had a great conversation about Jeff the other day with one of my other friends who enjoys gratuitous amounts of alcohol as much as I do. we were getting real drunk, and she's like, man, Jeff should be here. And I was like, yeah, you would think that, because Jeff's a beer guy, but he's not an alcoholic like we are. Jeff gets drunk on accident because beer tastes good. We get drunk to forget things.
We get drunk as a condition.
What do we end up getting drunk?
I'm trying to forget, like, 2002 to 2009.
Well, you haven't drank nearly enough, then.
What day is it?
Because I don't even remember that.
What day is it? This it also has a bit of a creaminess to it.
Yeah.
Like, on the finish, it's just sort of...
It's very smooth and just...
Yeah.
That's the lagering.
Yeah,
that's what you're tasting. That's why lagers have become such a popular beer, like, culturally, is because a lot of people don't like the aftertaste of beer, and lagers kind of smooth that out a lot.
Yeah. It reminds me of my date on prom night.
Which is also why, it's also why lagers are a good beer to drink to get drunk.
They're great session beers.
And not enough people do them, which is a crying shame.
That's fine. So, everybody with the rest of it down?
Yeah, bottoms up.
Go ahead.
Oh, I hate you people.
It's going to be fine. You're going to live.
Oops.
Maybe. Kevin's like, oh, I beat you too.
Yeah. You have, like, water? Can, like,
yes,
I do. Some else, just because I'm being a beer snob right now. It's just
palate cleanser.
Yeah, you need to wash it out as soon as we get to, like, the IPAs and the darker ones.
Yeah, you don't want
to. You don't want to be tasting all this.
Once we get to the palate destroyers and the enamel peelers.
My IPA isn't that bad. It's not.
No, your IPA is.
It's
like,
not a palate wrecker. I do want to make one of those, but they're kind of expensive.
You definitely don't want Simcoe.
To dry
it
off like that?
The one I made that you had,
mm-hmm.
that was the most expensive beer I've ever made. It was about $70.
Wow.
Your average, for anyone who doesn't know, your average beer will probably, depending on if you do all grain or... You do extract. But if you do all grain, your average ale is probably only like $35 to $40.
And what's your yield on that?
You get about 50 bottles ish.
Okay.
So like 12 ounce bottles.
Let's call it two cases.
Yes, 24 packs.
It's about it's a craft keg.
Yeah. It's about a pony.
Yeah.
It's 5 gallons.
So let's call it, well, in that respect, I mean, you could charge a premium and still make decent money on it.
There's a lot of work that people don't know that goes behind the scenes of homebrewing. There are plenty of nights where I'm alone in my apartment, a bathtub full of bottles, scrubbing off the fucking labels.
Sanitizing,
putting OxyClean in there. It's...
Please tell me you rinse it all very well.
Yeah. What I first do is I fill up the bathtub full of... OxyClean, and I have like a big brush, and I shove it
for
in there.
For those of you who can't see this,
it looks
Jeff Shaman is making the most beautiful jack off motion.
Yes, I get in there really tight, and sometimes I do like twisting motions.
Twist?
Yeah.
You sometimes sit on your hand and make it feel like somebody else is doing it.
Sometimes, for no reason, he'll just like rub the palm of his hand on the top of the bottle.
You gotta get in there.
Take the OxyClean and just like pull it off a tip.
Sometimes I tease it a little bit. And yeah,
I'm just imagining Jeff just crying in the bathroom. So many bottles.
You should ask Jeff about the first time we had to crash cool a beer.
Oh God.
So we will ask Jeff. What was the first time you had to crash cool a beer?
This is actually good because we can do this while pouring.
The first time, yes. There are many techniques to actually crash cooling a beer. You can use. Wort chillers, or the very barbarian way to do it is you fill up a bathtub.
It's the same way you crash cool a heroin addict.
You fill up a bathtub full of cold water, throw a shit ton of ice in there, and throw in your 5 or 10 gallon fucking pot, and you try to cool it as fast as you can.
Here's the thing
about dry ice.
No, ice.
No, ice.
You can't do dry ice or, like, liquid nitrogen? Because that would...
You can't put anything in the wort.
Liquid nitrogen would be a terrible idea.
No, in a bathtub, you just stick it down.
Do you want to do the amber? It's a little hoppier of an amber.
Yeah, let's do it.
And then we'll transition into the IPA,
the
brown.
So the moral of the story
is... beautiful. We're only 35 minutes in.
Do you know how much ice it takes up to fill up in a bathtub?
About
$50.
I was going to say,
undercompensated for that.
If I remember college correctly, it was around...
Yeah.
$50.
And you're putting a very, very hot pot into that, so that ice does not last long. So this is less than economic.
So and I'm saying liquid nitrogen.
Fortunately, Jeff lived down the street from Sheets. And so how many times did I go back and forth to Sheets in order to craft
full
beer?
The first time we were like...
I think it would be brilliant if you just put the fucking pot into the ice thing. And just stood there and like, what's up?
The first time I was like, oh, I'm gonna take all the ice out of my parents' freezer and do that, and that should be plenty of ice. Little did we know that was false. but yeah, we put like 20 pounds of ice in there, at least.
Yeah, it was.
It was terrible.
I went broke on ice that day. Literally, I think I paid about 50 or 60 bucks just on ice to. We doubled the price of the beer just to cool it off.
Yeah. So we don't do that anymore. I actually use a wort chiller.
And that comes from, that's where we say craft.
Which a wort chiller is just this, every time people come to my house, they think I'm brewing moonshine.
It looks very similar.
It's this very coiled piece of copper.
Yeah, right.
So you stick it in the wort, and you run cold water through it. Hot water comes out.
It's basically just like how you would have a mobile tap system where you have a copper coil, and you pull your tap, and then it runs the copper coil through a cooler of ice, but it's the opposite.
Yes. One other thing, I think, while we're pouring beer here real quick, or maybe we should try the beer and then get into this, I think Jeff should maybe kind of walk through the process, because we're throwing around a lot of jargon that people may not really know, and they may not understand what happens when, and...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it might be a good idea to run through the basic process of, this is what I'm buying, and this is what I'm drinking. And the process in between the two.
Oh, I actually fucked up. This is the IPA.
Oh, okay.
Ah, damn it. Pour it out and start over. God.
I'll tell my dad that it's
pour
the
it
IPA.
Out in your mouth.
Sorry. I looked at the caps. I colored them all red, thinking that was the, never mind.
I thought it smelled like an IPA.
Yeah, it's totally an IPA.
It kicks you in the ass at the end.
Sorry.
The hoppiest ale I've ever had. I guess it is an ale.
They both are hoppy, so it doesn't really matter. Who cares?
So, talk to us about the initial process of brewing. How does it start? Where do you start?
It starts with me and Chris
from
sitting in the break room at work
to
discussing what kind of beer we want to make.
That is true.
At Sherrill Tree.
Yeah,
at
watching Price is Right.
At Name Redacted Tree.
Yes. It usually is us like trying different beers and be like, yo, we should totally do something like that. And then it's me taking like 2 weeks to make a recipe that I kind of really like.
It's hard work for me, man.
He doesn't do anything. It's me.
It's you listening to Paramore and sorting wood chips.
I like how you've described, like, oh, I did this because Chris was yelling at me. And you're, like, now describing that you've done all this work and, like, Chris isn't doing anything. And he's just like, hey, man, why aren't we doing this?
Chris,
what
is
are you doing?
That's
he's your producer.
Basically how it goes.
That's
exactly everyone
what
gets
he is.
Some.
Chris, you are a producer in every sense of the word.
Except for the part where I actually produce anything.
Everyone does need to smell this one, because this has the most aroma all of the beers.
You show up to Jeff's place and you're like, how's that beer coming?
Honestly, that's about what it is, man. I'm not even gonna lie.
Like the pumpkin beer. He texted me, I'm like 3 hours in. He's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm brewing like I said I was. Well, thanks for telling me. Dude, you know I start early every day because it takes like 6 hours.
Jeff doesn't realize that I'm really hungover on Sunday mornings.
This is very true. No, I do realize that. Ooh. But I still... Ooh. Everyone smell it?
No, dude. This
I got the smell.
The current topic?
Palmer, I'm interested in your opinion on this because I know you don't
do
this.
Like,
I don't do hoppy. I don't do IPA.
This isn't terribly hoppy, but the smell is pretty awesome.
And
I
most
really
of
like
Jeff's
it.
IPAs... Oh, wow. People who don't do IPAs still appreciate.
Like, the first IPA was kind of like a sampler, like, hey, you should try IPAs. Like, this is a good level playing field.
This is
if you don't want it, I got a half-empty glass and you pour it in.
This is delicious.
This is my favorite so far, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the thing I liked about IPAs for such a long time is, like, I was super into it.
Than
like,
I remember.
How people got into, people who got into cabs like really hard, like I want to taste like dirt in my IPAs, and I got really into that. And
like Green Flash's palate wrecker,
exactly.
Like I just want to taste grass and
or
shit.
The enamel peeler from Dogfish Head, like
yeah.
something like that. This is
it's got a good amount of hops in it,
yeah.
Guys,
but it still has the maltiness in it.
Alex Fulmer is just pointing at his glass right
now.
Does he like this?
I like an IPA now.
Your world's been changed in an instant.
I win.
This does not give me an instant headache. Huh. I'm not even kidding.
You
almost
are drinking about the last few bottles of this beer.
Dude, I'm
limited edition.
I'm not kidding
it's
at all.
It's very limited.
When when I drank this, I was all expecting to be like, I'll expect the flavor to be pretty good, but the hop is gonna kick me in the teeth, and it's like within like 2 minutes, I'm gonna be like, oh god, my fucking head. But I could three bottle this.
Me and you have had a lot of conversations, me and Jeff, about how people like really, really hoppy IPAs.
I think I got a little yeast
and I like that, but like we want to make something that will appeal to people that aren't necessarily just beer heads. Because, like, I mean, that's cool, but you really just want people to appreciate what you're making more than just trying to outdo somebody on IBUs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets ridiculous. I don't really drink IPAs really anymore.
Green Flash West Coast, though.
That is by far my favorite IPA. That and Stone.
Stone can do...
No wrong. Their beer is amazing. I don't think I've ever had anything bad from them.
No. Ever.
Man, I'm so looking forward to the Milk Stout. Like, because that's my favorite.
Awesome.
That's my favorite type of beer.
Plus,
we're hitting
Stout
world.
Season. Like,
yes.
I'm transitioning.
Every
from,
season is
we're
stout
in Porter
season.
Pretty sure. Right
no, I'm actually currently, me personally, I'm in brown ale.
It is.
In brown ale.
It is Oktoberfest and brown ales.
I love how we're like beer nerds among us are like, no, it's brown ale season right now.
Nobody likes brown ale.
But that's just because of North Carolina. This is North Carolina brown ale season. The rest of the country is like, fuck you guys, we're on porters already.
Exactly.
Brown
but
ales
you
are
taste
like
some of the brown ales around here, like. Fucking Carolina
Sweet.
Brewing. Their fucking brown ale.
Sweet Josie.
Dude, yes. I will kiss you. Lone Rider Sweet Josie brown ale.
That is by far one of the my favorite.
Beautiful. And
it
then
is.
Big Bosses. Big Bosses brown ale. Yes. Fantastic.
And I wanted just to reference something to Jeff real quick. We were talking after he listened to the podcast where I think I referenced brown ales somehow. And I said brown ales are making a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
I really hope so.
Yeah.
I feel
like everything has become so homogenized with Newcastle. That's the only experience people have.
Mm-hmm. And
I like Newcastle.
I'm sorry, Newcastle's not even that good.
It's
no,
like
it's not.
Cheese.
It comes in a clear bottle, which is already your downfall. You have a clear bottle.
Explain that.
Oh, clear bottles, that's the worst thing you can do. Even green bottles. Light penetrates it. People use the term skunking. So... It messes with the flavor. Brown bottles, black bottles. That's the best thing you can do.
Yeah, if you can get an opaque bottle, that's not Bud Light Platinum.
That's
a lot of times.
That doesn't even matter because that it's bottle. Terrible as it is.
That's why a lot of craft breweries are starting to move toward cans. Cans
Oscar
are
Blues.
Weird because they have their own. They do some weird things chemically, but it does stop the beer from skunking.
Yeah,
you will get a little bit of a tinny.
There are a lot of
a little tinny taste.
And usually if you pour it in a glass, it tastes fine.
Yeah. As long as it's a relatively fresh batch.
Yeah.
So, while we're moving on to the next beer.
While we're moving to the next beer,
I'm still drinking
my
IPA.
I was going to say, Jeff, you want to explain the process since we never quite finished?
Yeah.
Yeah, please
tangent.
From the beginning? Oh, we got
off topic?
After me writing in a...
That was going to be the word for me. It was going to be tangent. So that would have been one, but we've also had the actual safe word has been said like 25 times.
I'm sorry, it should have been porno.
Yeah.
Should have been boner again. It should just be boner every week.
Boner every
that should
week.
Be the bonus safe word is boner.
Bonus, bonus boner.
The boner's safe word.
Yeah.
So yes, after I sit in my apartment and write out a recipe that I actually like, I'm still drinking mine.
Oh, fuck.
I'm enjoying my IPA.
Sorry,
I don't remember
bro.
It being this good. I'm sorry. I write up a recipe. I go to a local brew store.
Give them a plug. They're awesome.
Big Dan's Brew Shed off of 68 in Greensboro. Guy is a fucking genius. He is so knowledgeable. He knows everything.
Super nice. Super conversational.
You can walk up to him. He looks kind of scary. He's this really big bearded guy. But he is the friendliest guy, and you can ask him the dumbest, brewing questions, and it is completely okay.
It was your fault.
You fucked up.
No, that was your fault.
But yes, I go to him, I give him a recipe, he looks it over. Usually it's fine. Get all my grains, and then brewing day, which is...
the best of days.
The longest days of days.
You have a perfectly legitimate excuse to get day drunk at 9 a.m.
Yes, we usually do drink during this process.
Especially when we made the vanilla bourbon stout, because there was bourbon to drink.
Well, you gotta
this is very true.
You gotta taste your wort.
No, you can't taste the wort.
You can't?
I always taste the wort. It's disgustingly sweet.
I'm sorry, I thought you said taste your wort. And, like, just Batman and Robin just popped in my head.
You know, Adam West would have things to say to you, and he would agree.
Okay, just want to point this out. The other word I was thinking about for safe word for this group of people was fucking Batman.
Dude, you missed it when you and when you guys left to go to things. It was Batman. We talked about Batman for like 20 minutes.
I'm gonna rinse my glass out with Mountain Dew.
Bro, I didn't know.
You're in the South, bro.
We rinse our glasses out with Mountain Dew.
Hey, what would happen if we made like a little boutique industry of just throwing some yeast into soda and seeing what happened?
Actually, a girl.
Oh God, that would be terrible.
Is something you can buy from ThinkGeek where you take juice bottles and you throw a little bit of fucking yeast in it and you put the breather stopper on it.
Yeah.
And you get bum wine.
That's the way you make cider. That's the easiest way to make cider. You just buy apple juice.
I kind of want to buy like some juicy juice and just do that.
Yeah, do it with apple juice and you'll get halfway decent cider.
Oh, cool.
Or if you use fresh cider. If you can find fresh cider that's not pasteurized, because it'll kill the yeast.
Or just go to the mountains.
Yeah, you're like at the farmer's market, but you have to make sure it's not pasteurized, which is tough to come by.
Yeah.
But you can make really good homemade apple cider like that. It's just fermenting fresh cider.
Why are we whispering?
Okay, so...
everything's a secret.
Brewing day. Brewing day is fun. You do get a little day drunk. Usually starts pretty early, just because it is a long process. Especially if you do all grain.
Jeff hates me.
All grain, it takes longer, but it yields a better beer, at least in my experience. I don't know whose this is.
Mine?
That's not mine.
It starts with me filling up a very big pot full of water and getting it roughly like 170-some degrees.
We've got a digital thermometer to...
Yeah. Temperature is the biggest thing. Accurate. Temperature is key when it comes to brewing beer.
That affects your flavor. Oddly enough, that can affect your flavor more than the ingredients you're putting into it.
That's just like cooking.
You can get so many off flavors from it not being the right temperature. Who's doing so? So yeah, lots of boiling of water.
This is
the hoppy amber.
This is the ale.
This is the amber.
The amber. All right.
This is the hoppier amber. I did dry hop this one.
How long?
explain dry hop.
Dry hopping is when it's sitting in the fermenter. I do secondary, which is I take it out of the glass carboy and put it into another one, and then I take hops and literally just
like
throw them
hops
in there. I do pellets.
Okay.
That's a whole another topic.
But it's dry hops.
But I put them in there and I let that sit for like another week or so.
I can't get past the fact that dry hop sounds like dry hump.
Oh my God, Katie.
You are drunk. Go home.
Katie.
This is me sober.
Jeff, can we name one of our beers dry hopping?
Oh, I'm sorry.
They just have two 17-year-olds like humping each other through their blue jeans on the bottle.
Why don't you just have Katie on the bottle?
Dry humping.
Hey, hey, hey. You were the giggliest motherfucker.
Is there a way to have like a yarmulke / wizard hat at the same time?
Is that everybody?
Wow. Yeah. It's like a blue yarmulke with stars on it.
Yes.
I would wear it. I would totally wear it.
When's your birthday?
May 27th.
Happy birthday.
Okay, so this is the...
We'll chip in $2 and get that made.
The hoppier...
This is the amber.
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 You can smell a little
water.
Bit of hops.
I can smell the hop on it.
Smells good.
All the lemongrass.
Okay, this one's my favorite.
Was this a Citra?
No, I did not put Citra in this.
He said lemongrass. So
I
was just...
I think I dry hopped it with... I did a couple of strains. I did, I think it was Simcoe.
Hello, Twix Bar.
I can't recall. There was, I think it's three different strains I put in.
So some could have been some of the aroma he was smelling.
Yeah. I want to know what kind of wizardry you have where it has, like, hops on the nose, but when I take a sip, there's a little bit of that dryness that comes with the hop, but it, like, goes down my throat like velvet.
Trade secret.
They're...
Okay, Coca-Cola.
There are some hops that are better for bittering and some for aroma.
Trade secret Coca-Cola. The trick is you put cocaine in it.
It's great for toothaches.
Dude, I remember actually I saw like one of the fake news things from like Weekend Update or whatever on Saturday Night Live forever ago. And there were it was the interview with the old Coca-Cola CEO, the lady, and she was like, our founder wanted to make a nice, cool, refreshing drink for people to enjoy to, like, you know, quench their thirst. And then it stopped her right there, and then it cut to the newscaster, and he goes, or the person on Weekend Update, and he goes, and when that didn't work, we put cocaine in it.
Did you ever watch Drunk History?
Mm-mm. Did they do a Coca-Cola one?
They did a Coca-Cola one.
Oh, wow.
It's on I think it's on Netflix, or you can find it on the internet. But they... Yeah, there's cocaine.
There was cocaine. Yeah. Because Pepsi was the same thing. It, originally, like, the colas were actually, they were, like, medicinal remedies.
Yes. Yeah. Same with Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Which was called Dr.
Which Pepper. We all know tastes better warm than cold.
They also built a lot of brand loyalty, Coca-Cola did, in East Germany while the wall was still up.
They did.
Yeah.
Brand loyalty.
Yeah, they built brand loyalty because there were little holes in the wall and they put the Coca-Cola bottle through it.
That nice. Is awesome.
Yeah, so it became Coca-Cola a symbol of capitalism and of rebellion. So then when the wall finally came down...
Capitalism, rebellion.
Capitalism, well, because it's rebellion. East fucking Germany.
Well, it was a good thing for them at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like super. That's actually a song that came on at my work the other day.
I did too. I thought he said Ein.
I did
Stein.
Say no.
Super.
No, the other day was all German music at like my place of work, and it was just accordion and terrible German singing the whole day.
Why?
Like just this guy, Hundehände haben da ein, zwei, super, and I was just like, someone fucking kill me. This is so bad.
I'll tell you, you have not lived until you go to an authentic German restaurant and bar with live music. And you get in on the crowd singing action.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is.
Did you oompa-pa?
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
I play the accordion.
That's not fun. That's a miserable, terrible fact.
And by play the accordion, I mean I can kind of do some shit.
When you say I play the accordion, I just imagine you yelling and jumping up and down on an accordion.
It's
whoa,
sort of like if Amanda Palmer had an idea to get on an accordion.
Bagpipes tier?
I like bagpipes. Nope. Don't hate on the bagpipes.
I want that at my funeral, wedding, and every time I walk down the street.
I actually have had a discussion like with every girlfriend that I've had, and none of them have worked out. I think for this reason.
Joke of the night, right there.
I think for this reason, because like every time, like... Women like to bring up marriage very early on in the relationship. Like,
would you marry? No.
Well, you're not every woman.
No,
wrong.
But
they're not all in you.
It's true.
Anything you want done, baby.
Full of boobs.
I've said, like, fine, you can do whatever you want with the wedding as long as I can wear my kilt.
Ooh.
Oh.
My only stipulation and really is I want to wear suspenders.
This is an interesting topic.
Because I am Scottish. My family is Scottish. We are hillbillies from the hills of North Carolina.
Which also have kilts.
Well, I mean, that's where the Scots-Irish settled. And we're not Scots-Irish, by God. We're Scottish because fuck the Irish. They rolled over for England. We didn't.
Do you think that maybe that's what kilt it?
Oh,
God.
Get out.
I hate you so much. Why do we invite you on this show?
On that note, I have a theory that every wedding, the guy gets one thing.
Right.
It's
yes.
like, you can do whatever, babe. I'll have veto power to some extent, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. But so, my one thing, and I've had this thought for my like whole life, is I've always wanted to have my wedding topper be the cover of Amazing Spider-Man Annual Number 1,
yep.
where Pete and Mary Jane are getting married.
Yes.
However, after that, I found this amazing picture, which I'm going to try to bring up.
It's incredible.
I need to bring it up, and this is awesome audio.
It's pretty awesome.
But does it have to do with Ron Jeremy?
The cover with Kevin just perked up. The cover with Peter in the tux or in the Spidey suit?
In the Spidey suit.
Okay.
The Spidey
just
suit.
Needed to verify.
I also want to point this out.
Comics boner.
I just want to point this out as well. I think a really cool topper for a cake would also be Joker and Harley. But Harley after the murder rampage that she goes on in Injustice.
Yes.
Because that's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. That's the best outro, that's the best final.
Is it beyond the pale to want the Joker and Barbara Gordon?
Okay, hold that thought. I'm going to pass this picture around so everybody can see it before I do the audio reveal. But this is, I found this and this will be on my wedding cake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Marvels.
Yes. So, what they are looking at now is that cover with Spider-Man in the Spider-Man suit and Mary Jane in a wedding dress, but they're zombies.
Classic. Oh,
dude, it is $30. The cheapest wedding topper ever. And if
that's cheaper, a wedding topper?
Oh, bro, they're normally like.
I was just gonna go get some micro machines.
Micro machines, yes.
But so, if I don't find that girl, I will never get married.
No, but my stipulation is the kill. That's it.
And I just want to say, if you're going to wear a tuxedo, get a double-breasted tuxedo.
No!
Double-breasted
is so old school.
They look so good.
John's the fashion guy. You can't argue with the fashion guy.
I'm also the fashion guy.
No, look at what he's wearing. You shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I can dress well, too.
Can someone describe John's outfit?
No, it's beautiful.
I could describe it.
Let him do it.
Fine.
I'm wearing black pinstripes, just the waistcoat and trousers, black shoes, some fancy ass socks, and
Argyle.
And
there's no Argyle anywhere on that.
I love this dress shirt. It's
Argyle.
I thought you meant up here. You can't really see the dress shirt like in this lighting. not for you guys, obviously. but it's white. Yeah. It's a blue check pattern, and there's like really light pink coloring.
Yeah.
Oh, and
I'm ready to fuck him right now.
I'm a fan of the high
collar.
That's a very nice high collar.
Is that a pocket watch?
Yes, it is a pocket
watch.
That's
my favorite accoutrement of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I love pocket watches. I have one.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but since we're talking about what I'm wearing, like, look at how I did my tie. Look at this. Look at this tie knot.
Oh,
fuck. That's a really nice tie knot.
You sack.
What kind of knot is that?
It's called the Eldritch knot. And it's
wearing an Eldritch. It was all over Reddit for like
I normally just go with the double Windsor.
It's deceptively easy to do.
I'm a four in hand.
Dude, have you ever seen I forget, I think it's on Suits, the show Suits, where he's where like the guy Mike is walking in the corridor. Actually, it's not on Suits, it's on something else.
Burn Notice.
I don't remember. Jesus. So one of the guys is walking by and like one of the women in the office or the boss in the office is like, you're going to get an actual big boy tie and not one of those stupid skinny ties? And then he walks off and, like, the guy is like, am I really wearing a skinny tie? And, like, the hot, like, corporate lawyer walks by him and she's like, you look fine, but that tie really is skinny. And she just walks off.
What is wrong with a skinny tie?
Nothing if you're a mod.
Thank you.
Hello. So, if I may weigh in, I think skinny ties are okay, like, so long as you pair them with the right collars and etc. Like, with the right outfit, they could look good. I think super skinny is ridiculous and tacky.
Like, the pinstripe, like, super ridiculous tie.
If your tie is a rectangle, then, like, then come on.
Go home.
If it's
really
so skinny that it might be a bolo tie, go home.
I really want to get a sweet fitted, like, mod suit, though, with just, like, a mad skinny tie, dude. I feel
dude,
like,
go,
especially,
like, old school
when I dye my hair blue again, like, I think that'll be.
Yeah, when I hose your hair off in the backyard?
Yeah.
We need to do that again.
It's got to be after Halloween. I got to be Scott Pilgrim.
Man, let's talk about beer again, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to say more beer.
Actually, just for everyone's edification, we are doing fantastic on time for once.
Woo!
For the first time.
We are only at an hour.
Oh.
I absolutely loved the amber.
Yeah, if anybody wants to talk about what they've had so far,
the amber was, I mean, I'm really trying to, the only thing that I wish more from the IPA, just because, it's just so I can be a detractor, is I wanted a little more
water, not beer.
You want a little more what?
A little more citrus.
A little more citrus?
Yeah, just...
What was the second beer we had?
Lager.
The lager is my favorite Vienna. Up to this point.
The Vienna lager was delicious.
Lager was
delicious.
So good.
What's up next, lager?
If I may say, my main detracting point is that I wish I just had a little more.
Of which one?
All of them?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Anytime I come on, I will bring copious amounts of
What are you doing next
do
week?
It. I can come next week.
Good.
Yeah, I will say that all of the beers so far have been legitimately good, but by far the amber to me is just. Mwah. I mean, it made love to
can
my
you
mouth.
Make that? Can you make that noise again?
Mwah.
Thank you.
That one was kind of thrown together. That actually was one of my recipes.
Throw it together again.
That was. I was like, I want to brew this weekend. I'm just gonna throw some shit together and.
What's laying around the house still?
Yeah, I had some extra hops still. That's how I dry hopped it. I was like,
what do we got?
I'm looking at. I'm like, oh, I have some Simcoe. I have some other hops. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's just throw these in there. And
so what? Isn't that the funnest part about like finding
experimenting?
Something you like, you know, because I like to cook, and my favorite thing is to go like, I got macaroni, a chicken breast, and some broccoli, and just throwing it all together and just seeing what happens and making like. Enjoying it afterwards.
That's cheddar soup without the soup.
What's on deck, Jeff?
We are going to do the brown ale.
Get it!
Yes.
This one, this is a little different. I caramelized some brown sugar and threw it into the wort.
That's Everybody's only making faces.
Yeah, we really are, because one of my favorite parts of a brown ale is like the molasses sugary earth, like, beautifulness that just... Don't. He just opened the bottle, sniffed it, and went.
I went.
My favorite part about this whole thing is I'm quickly realizing, apart from the lager, my favorite beers are the ones I don't have anything to do with.
Glasses. Yes.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Big ups to Jeff bringing the tasting glasses tonight too.
Yeah,
these are pretty awesome. These are from
Big ups to
Chilber
Alex
Fest
letting the door slam.
The big sip.
It's not a race, fellas.
We're competing now. It's come to that point.
No, because I want the top, not the bottom. I don't want to shit.
The big sip is an awesome thing. If anyone has ever heard of it,
it tastes good, but it tastes stomach up.
It's in Greensboro. It's actually coming December 14th.
December 14th. Yes.
Yes.
Amazing. It's craft beer, craft soda, artisan craft coffee,
wine, and liquor.
Yes. Local liquor.
Local liquor.
Yeah, I'm taking that day before.
And it's like $25, $30.
Local bourbon?
They had brandy, bourbon, and they had this energy vodka.
Energy vodka.
Fuck all the energy.
And
just
coffee.
Bourbon.
They had local coffee
than
as
anyone's
well.
Ever been.
We found one of our favorite coffee spots there.
Yes,
Beansboro
off of
very good.
New Garden.
They make espresso that goes down like water.
It's
where is it?
Delicious. It's by the Harris
Teeter.
Oh shit, really?
Oh, I think I poured too much. But you'll love it.
Their coffee, I like counterculture coffee for black coffee more, but Beansboro's espresso is the best.
But
I've
I'm so partial
it is
to Crankies. Crankies is.
I'm still all advocating for Ardmore.
Ardmore coffee.
Well, those are Winston's pubs.
Yeah. Also, by the way, we are going to go ahead and mention this tonight because we mentioned it before while we were at Ardmore. We really want to do a few podcasts from Ardmore Coffee. So if anybody, if we all have a day on a Sunday where everyone can kind of get here a little early, like if we can start one at about 6, we can just run it there.
Cool.
Yeah. We can't drink, but...
No. But we can do drink or drunk. We can do drink or drunk with coffee.
We can.
Which will be nice.
Everyone get some?
Drink or buzz?
I need a little more.
Asshole.
Brown ale go.
To brown ale.
Go ahead.
Ooh.
That is something.
Wow.
That's good. Yeah.
Yep.
I'd like to revisit that.
Coming from
it, I'd like to retire here.
The only brown ale I've had before, I feel kind of ashamed to say this now because of what's been discussed prior, is Newcastle. And this is far better than Newcastle.
Newcastle's a weird brown ale because it's actually kind of atypical, in my opinion.
Mm.
Most of the ones I've had are not... that much like Newcastle. I think Newcastle's very light and more...
It's very different.
It's got a more of a ale taste to it, I think, than
the
true
the
brown
caramel
ale.
Flavors that you want
out
of
the
brown ale.
It's a little more ambery.
Yeah. And also, once again, talking about inconsistency, like, you can get 1 6-pack of Newcastle that's perfect, and then 1 6-pack of Newcastle that tastes like dial.
It's because it's imported in clear bottles.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you went there, it'd probably be pretty consistent.
Don't they have kegs?
From what I understand.
They do.
Is that them?
Yeah, they do. They do. They and Heineken do a mini keg.
They're probably pretty decent.
My mom is staring at this.
From what I understand, Guinness in Ireland is a totally different experience, like different. Just completely. A buddy of mine was talking about it, and it's funny because he said something that reminded me of a comedy skit that I saw where a guy was talking about Guinness. He was like, Guinness over here, you know, it's when it's on tap, it's cold, and, you know, they do the double pour and all that, and it's you know, it's kind of like that over there, except it's completely warm. And it's like drinking mud. There's like twigs and sticks, and there's a fucking fish.
Moore.
Yeah, a
it's
fish jumps out of it, and he's like, "Hey, how you doing?" And you're like, "Ugh!" And everybody in the bar is like, "Oh, that's just Jerry." Like,
well, to be fair, he was talking about the house ale that he drank.
But darker beers should be drank closer to room temperature than your Coors Light that is should be frozen.
Yeah. Right, and there's a difference between like what we consider warm. And cold.
Yes,
because
yes,
in
yes.
England, because a lot of it, all their tap rooms are in the cellar. So it's a cellar temperature. So it's like 55 degrees?
That's a good temperature.
Which is perfect.
Especially anything darker than maybe, say, an amber? Anything darker than an amber should really be a little warmer.
Yeah, you get more of the characteristics. You could taste more when you drink it warm.
If it's lighter, like a Hefeweizen or like a wheat beer, like you want those cold.
Yeah.
Because they have naturally just kind of have off tastes in them that you need to eliminate with the temperature a little bit, but
It's actually it's getting a little weird because I think my allergies kicked in a little while ago and plus I've been smoking. So now
we've had a few beers.
Yeah. And so I'm starting to not get the full flavor of the beers, and I feel really bad because I want to taste the full flavor of them. Which is, I'm glad the milk stout's coming last.
The milk stout's completely different from everything.
And this one is like, I'm having a really hard time distinguishing this one from the amber.
We just had the amber, which is a little hoppier.
The only thing that gets me about brown ales in general, and yours isn't really much of an exception, but brown ales, I really like them, but after about the first one, you just get that. It's a brown ale taste that sticks with you, and it kind of starts hiding the flavor, which is unfortunate because they're really good beers.
Yeah. It's almost cloying, like with some brown ales. Mm-hmm. Like, you drink a really, really malty brown ale, and it will just stick with you.
You just feel like you just ate a chocolate bar. Like, you just taste chocolate for the rest of the day. It's the same kind that you just taste malt for the rest of the day.
And I had a Twix, which probably didn't help.
this has a similar...
Actually, that may help, though. The caramel and the chocolate
I think it helped.
Did you have the left Twix or the right Twix?
Which factory?
I had the left one, and then I turned it over, so the right one became the left one.
like what you're saying, since it's a similar flavor profile, that could be kind of masking a little bit of the flavor in the beer, too.
Yeah, I think with the smoking and the chocolate, plus the fact that I'm really prone to allergies.
And this is also probably the mildest one we've had so far.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, like, thus far, that lager has stuck with me. Like, I'm a lager fan anyway, but, like, the rye wheat would be something I would drink consistently, but if I'm like, I really want a beer that, like, is going to stick with me all day, I'd go with the lager. Like, I'm excited for the milk stout because... I really like. I'm not.
Ice cream, dude.
Oh, dude!
Oh, no. Air floats.
The vanilla bourbon.
The vanilla bourbon stout that we had. I did buy some vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla. We put vanilla bean ice cream.
Bourbon stout. It is the tits. It's amazing.
I really feel like the world needs to be turned on more to beer floats.
Mm-hmm. It should be a thing. Like, more restaurants should have them.
I have a question. Have you ever tried a Belgian sour?
Yes.
Okay, have you tried to make one?
I have not. I have not done sours yet.
I've heard they're incredibly hard to make.
A friend of mine made one on accident, and it was...
Was the beer just skunked and, like, terrible that he just called it a sour?
I'm all in.
I actually had it, and I liked it. Like,
really?
Yeah, it was a happy accident, like you were talking about. And I guess, like, a very lucky happy accident, to put it that way. But... Like,
it happens sometimes.
That was the first sour ale I'd ever tried, and I was like, man, like, I could do this more often.
I had a sour rye, I think. Was that the one we had? It was at a Best Way, I want to say. I think we had a sour rye that was pretty good.
I actually was going to say, for one episode when, you know, when Jeff's back on and whatnot, what I'd really like to do is I'd like us all to get here a little bit early, and I'd like us to go down to Stella. And when we go to Stella, I kind of want everyone to get a sour.
Did you buy some?
Not for this week. Last week we had one. Oh my God. You're going to be back. So.
I'll be back next week.
I spent my budget on the Jamaican Red Ale and the Mole Stout.
I just, when I got home, I had like a bag of Jimmy John's, and I was like, I'm not fucking getting up again. Like, we're here until everybody shows up.
Luckily, Katie picked me up from the bar and was like, I would like to go to Stella Brews. I'm like,
No. You suggested it.
I said
it.
Stella Brews. And, then
and then I was really down for that.
And I was like, Colin was like, I'm going to say that Katie wanted to get more drunk. It was me.
Knowing he was going to come out here and have all of these stout-ass beers.
They're not that stout, are they?
The stout will be stout.
You still working on it?
I am still working on
it. What's the ABV? Also, do you know?
Let me see. We started with the rye. The rye was probably an even 5-ish. Mm-hmm. What do we have next? We had the...
Lager.
We had the lager. The lager was 5.5-ish.
A little high for a lager.
That's a good amount.
That might account for some of the smoothness, too.
Exactly. Then we had the IPA.
Yes.
The IPA wasn't like the first IPA, which is... Like Colin said, 9%, like the first one I made.
Fucking ridiculous.
The bill for that thing was, I want to say it was like 16 pounds of grain, which is a lot.
I mean, the typical
beer
we,
is probably only like 10,
we came out
12.
Under ABV on that beer too, right?
No, we went over.
Oh, we went over, okay.
We went over. And there was probably about 9 ounces of hops.
I was going to say.
Probably a little bit more than that.
For the batch?
Yeah.
I was going to say, if your ABV is 9 and you're under, good fucking work.
We went over by accident. Yep. That was our Green Flash IPA.
It was our Green Flash bump.
Yeah. It didn't turn out like Green Flash, but it was
the guys
still good.
The guys from Dogfish Head would be like, come hang out with us.
Yeah.
We like to get people drunk and make them think they're eating dirt.
I think the amber was probably like 6. Mm-hmm. This brown.
That's a solid, can I guess?
Go ahead.
It's a solid 5.
Yeah, just about 5. And then the one we have in next is
Don't ruin the milk stout. I'd like to guess.
Okay, I won't tell you. I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
You know the weird thing about this is that, like, as I'm doing this, and, like, because we're not drinking, like, a whole shit ton of this beer.
8-ounce glasses.
8-ounce glasses, yeah. and they're a little underpoured.
Only, like, half.
About 2/3 of the glass. I don't even feel, like, the slightest bit buzzed, really. Which is strange, because I already had the rye before, plus I had, like, half a beer when I got home.
I think part of that might be an artifact of homebrew, because you kind of get a little more... You know how you talk about, like, wine drunk?
Yes.
It's homebrew is like, since it's much more pure and less alternate, you don't get headachey, you don't get weird, so it's generally a more even keel, like, I've got a buzz, but I feel good, not just like, oh, wow, something's off, kind
of. Yeah, typically a lot of the beers, I don't go, like, balls to the wall, like, ABV, like, I don't go crazy. It's kind of expensive to go crazy.
Yeah.
We should make a 10% black beer, that'd be fun.
I do want it, though. The one that I was making for, I'm not going to say her name, was supposed to be, what, I think 10%?
Yeah, well, really?
Because that
was
like I showed you.
Bitch beer, too, wasn't it?
No. That was the, what was it going to be? It was a coffee, vanilla bean stout.
Smirnoff.
Which I still want to do, going back to
the
Beansboro thing.
You got coffee.
Beansboro coffee and beer.
That thing was supposed to be pretty high and pretty amazing.
You guys should do a barley wine.
I do want to do a barley wine.
The problem with barley wine is, you think, like,
barley
the time it takes to make a lager is long?
Oh, barley wine's got to sit for a long
time. It's a year.
Oh, wow.
Stella Brews.
And that's not conditioning.
Stella
Brews. That is making the beer.
Yeah.
And conditioning. Conditioning. No, it's conditioning. Conditioning takes...
But that's just basic conditioning. That's not, like, aging.
Yeah.
So it's not like a set it and forget it sort of Tresemme sort of conditioning.
The barley wine is like, I'm going to put it down in my basement and I'm going to forget about it. And then be like, oh, hey,
and then when my kids are adults and they're digging through my basement trying to find pictures of themselves.
And we find
this beer.
They're
going to find my 55-year-old aged whiskey down there.
Yes.
You know what I'd rather them find? My double-ended dildo.
So because I'm at least that won't get used.
When I have children, I'm going to put them in a little pod in the woods and take a picture of it. Then I'm going to hide that in the attic so that they can find it like 12 years later and think they're Superman.
Yeah. That's
hold on.
That's
hold on. Great. Chris, you're the best goddamn dad ever. Because I thought I was going to be a cool dad. I'm wrong.
I thought I was going to be cool by naming my kid Grover. You just took the fucking cake.
You can't name your kid Grover anymore because I named my car Grover.
No, fuck your car. My kid's name is Grover.
I just, for the sake of this conversation, talking about kids' names, I want to have one of my kids' middle name be Bane.
Oh, get the fuck out.
No, just because I like the name Bane.
But with an I.
Yeah. B-A-I-N-E.
You never saw the night.
You're not creative at all, Alex.
You're going to keep saying that to your kid, and then they're not going to catch the reference at all until they're like 30, and they'll be like, God damn it, Dad.
Your kid's going to come home at 13 and be like, people are making fun of me.
Yes. The fire rises.
You're right, son. Me and your mother fucking hate you. That's why we did this. You were a mistake.
I never saw the pussy until I was a man. By then...
It was oh God! Okay.
So this is the one.
This is the one.
This is the milk stout. This is my. For people who can't see, I have a little American caps
American
on this beer.
Cap.
I thought they were really cool.
I'm very excited for this because I've never had a milk stout.
This is a money shot.
This actually has. There's nothing American about this beer. It's actually English malt.
Jeff is about to pop my cherry.
In
a couple ways.
This is a road you
will
not.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Put it in your mouth. No. Put it in your mouth. Yeah, pour it in there. Yeah, girl.
Just put it in.
That's how you know it's good.
This beer actually just exploded. Which is okay. It's fine. I'm going to open the other one.
It's not its fault at Kesha all over the place.
It did. There is.
Bro, watch your mouth.
I love Kesha. Don't even
dude, we were
I had a very
cover
long
Kesha
conversation
song.
About Kesha at the bar tonight. About how, like, yeah, she's got a weird dog face, but would you complain after you came all over it?
Yeah, no, I like Kesha. I do.
No, we our band that's on hiatus tried to cover a Kesha song until the drummer decided...
Until I stuck playing guitar and realized
no,
I couldn't
no,
play that song.
No, no. That's not even why that band's on hiatus. It's everybody that's not the nuclear band that plays drums.
Yeah. And guitar. Not my guitar.
No! Dude, I gotta.
Guys, this is the color of motor oil in the best
it
way
is.
Possible.
Oh my God.
And it's all
dude,
over
I'm
the
putting it against light brown.
It's completely opaque.
No, it is opaque.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Alex.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. It just kind of just came everywhere.
Seriously, if you guys ever get a chance to get a very, very, very dark, like Dragon's Milk is an amazing
beverage.
If you can get Dragon's Milk and put a scoop of vanilla bean ice cream in that.
We are getting so close to Founder's Breakfast Stout.
My favorite. No, it's actually out. I was at Total Wine.
Sexual Chocolate's coming soon.
Like,
I
was at Total Wine maybe like 2-3 weeks ago, and they said it's out, but they didn't have any.
Matt at Stella Brews said he's getting 66ers. Also, Cold Mountain is coming out in the next couple weeks. Cold Mountain Ale from Highland Brewing.
Good.
Oh my God, dude.
Mm. Oh, fuck you, Jeff.
The smell alone just reminds me of every gorgeous night I've had vomiting black all over the walls.
I don't know.
Really wasted on
this.
This
has got a better nose than
I don't know
rabbit.
What happened.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Does everybody have a good amount, though, yet? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's still some if you want more. Okay. It kind of exploded, but we're good.
Bottom same thing. Anytime someone's really caramely, you want to take a full sip?
Here's to the next topic. Milk stout.
bro.
Consensus?
Bro.
Were you going to guess the ABV?
I'd say 6.5.
Lower than that, it's 5.
Fulmer was right.
6.5?
Suck it, yes. Dude.
It's that high and you can't taste it at all.
Wow.
You've it's done a
pound
good
of
job.
Lactose.
Dude, I changed my mind.
You like stouts.
This, I would drink this more than one bottle.
Welcome to the stout.
Yeah.
Welcome to
Do
the stout.
Do you want more sweetness or is
little
the
bit.
Sweetness... Okay.
I'd say like, there's the little coffee undertone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like that. I'd push it with, like, this would just be me because I think it'd be kind of cool to try this. Hazelnut roast kind of thing instead.
Yeah.
And then push it with a little bit of vanilla bean.
I was thinking vanilla bean next time.
Well, I think... But... Carbonation?
Take it back a notch?
Ease back
a notch. It was a little bit higher than I wanted.
God, and it smells
but it's
amazing.
That's the only criticism.
Carbonation is a weird thing to get just right.
And I prefer it to be overcarbonated, because I've had stouts that are very undercarbonated and make you want a good gag.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
So I would rather be a little more overcarbonated than under.
I want the sweet like you were talking about. I don't...
Not just overly, just a tiny
on
more.
The front
tiny
end.
Bit more.
I want
you taste it and you get that real sweet, like, oh, chocolate. But then you get that, like, dark chocolate on the back end.
I do
end.
Want a little more dark chocolate in it. I think I may go a little heavier on the darker.
The malty nuttiness
with the
mouthfeel of the lactose is just...
Because I think you could bring out I think you could bring out, like, the savory... I think you could bring out the savory and the sweet at the same time by doing the hazelnut and vanilla bean.
Yeah. Everybody is putting their glasses to Jeff to get more right now.
This one's really good.
It's
This is by far one of my favorites so far.
This and the lager are both super close
Wait till,
for me.
This is the Coupe de Grasse.
In about...
Really
the Coupe de Grasse.
I guess you guys will have a show... When is Halloween? Halloween's on
Thursday. No, it's a Thursday.
If you want,
our Halloween show is going to be after Halloween.
I will come back on Halloween, the Sunday after Halloween. We'll bring the pumpkin beers onto the show.
Yeah.
I did make, I'm in the process of making a...
The last pumpkin went, it was gone in what, 2 weeks?
You know what? There is a bottle in my dad's refrigerator that is the only bottle in existence.
That was the one. People were coming over like, I want the pumpkin. I want more of the pumpkin.
The,
I want more of the pumpkin.
The
it
pumpkin
went,
is pretty quick. Good. Yeah. I ran out stupid quick. I didn't even have the last bottle. Everybody at work, all my friends, everyone's like, I want it, I want it. And it disappeared. But this year I changed it. I actually did not use an actual pumpkin. I used canned pumpkin. But at least I used pumpkin. When I went to the brew shed, Dan's brew shed, he told me that there's a recipe without actual pumpkin.
Yeah.
And there is this huge debate about using an actual pumpkin or not.
Because the idea is, when you think the flavor of pumpkin, what people associate as pumpkin flavor is not actually the flavor of the pumpkin, but rather the spices.
Is
that
it
are...
more like nutmeg, cinnamon?
Yeah, yeah. And so,
sage.
So
and,
when people drink
a
pumpkin, it's not necessarily like, oh, there's no pumpkin in it. It's just, like, so that's why you get a lot of, like, autumn beers, and, like, it's like, Big Boss Harvest Fest, the one I really like. I don't
Which
think there's
good.
Actually pumpkin in that, even though I call it a pumpkin beer, because it's, like, it tastes like pumpkin pie, but it doesn't need pumpkin to taste like pumpkin.
I think it uses a lot.
Same as a stout, tastes like chocolate without chocolate in it.
I will say this about this one in particular. With the other ones, when you said, you know, get the full mouth, and get the full feel of it, I did, like, full gulps the whole time. With this one, I did the full gulp the first time, and I can't help but do small sips on it after that because I want the lingering flavor.
This is last year's pumpkin beer.
Oh,
for people who can't see this, it is orange.
It looks like a fucking Light Bright show.
It looks like a pumpkin.
That's
pretty amazing.
Gorgeous.
It's like a jack-o'-lantern in a glass.
I'm going to say right now, like... I'm thoroughly satisfied with the way this episode is going.
I did bring more... I did have more stouts. There are some in the kitchen.
Oh, good God.
They are
That's
not in here.
A thing
I don't have
happen.
Any right
I'll
now.
Go get them.
But there are some there. So we can... Throughout the session, we can drink more.
What is my name?
Drunk.
Drunk, you're goddamn
go home.
Right.
Go home. You're drunk.
If we have a little bit more we want to kind of throw at this in terms of a little more discussion, or... Do we want to kind of segue in?
I think you're stepping on Jeff's beautiful segue.
Which one is this?
Jeff's
like,
said,
I made a segue?
to Kala, he said, go home.
Ah, you're
drunk.
Okay. In that case, we are going to move something around a little bit, and we are going to go directly into Go Home, You're Drunk.
That was almost ham-fisted.
Almost.
That was the total. That was drink or drunk the whole time. We don't need to do that.
No,
but,
we don't need to
but
do
what was everyone's... what was everyone's general consensus? What was your favorite beer out of the six?
Pick a drink, pick a drunk.
Yeah.
Okay, my drink and my drunk, going around the horn, starting with me, going this way.
Yep.
My drink was, as much as I love the milk stout, that, the Vienna Lager, absolutely a drink. Mm. The wheat, the rye wheat, drunk. Just personally.
I'd actually, my favorite was the IPA, I think. I really like the IPA. I'm not a big fan of lighter beers, so the wheat rye is probably my least favorite. But that being said, it was something that I would definitely drink, like, if it were presented to me with no qualms. And I'm a person who will turn down, like, beer I don't like. Like, I don't drink to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So take that as it is.
There's nothing I'd say no to in this batch, for sure.
My drink is absolutely the lager.
Yeah.
God, the mouthfeel alone is sex. Aside from just the flavor. And then my drunk is probably the brown ale, just because it doesn't have... And I'm probably being critical a little bit, but... It doesn't,
probably.
I want a little more... I always am. A little more flavor profile, but I think that's something we've talked about.
Yeah, we have discussed that. I actually made another recipe for that one.
Okay, cool.
Jeff, what's yours?
Well,
my drink, just because it was my baby, is the Vienna Lager.
Yeah.
Just so much time.
So much blood, sweat, and tears.
Everything into that. I had to kind of stay okay with my ex to make that beer survive. that's my favorite. My drunk is probably... I would probably have to agree with Nielsen. It's probably the brown... It didn't turn out as well as I wanted it to. Yeah.
So.
I'm gonna grab the milk stouts.
Hold on.
Just
leave them in the fridge.
Kevin, just go.
Okay,
just
go. So my drink, I still really like the Amber a whole lot. That's my personal favorite. And just because I have to pick a drunk, even though I really enjoyed every single one, I'll go with the wheat rye. Just to.
Yeah.
Throw one out there.
Yeah, my drink is probably the lager in retrospect, though when I was tasting the amber after that, it was more that one. But now that I'm thinking back on it, definitely the lager. My drunk, probably also the rye wheat. I look for a lot more rye, I guess, in anything that has rye.
Yeah,
that's just me.
There should be more rye next time in it.
I just really like the taste of rye, and that's probably the Russian blood in my veins, too. Like, I just want to taste like fucking pumpernickel.
Still some caraway seed in there while you're at it.
Next time I'll double what goes in there,
don't
the rye.
I actually got a consensus from my father on this as well, so we'll have that. I'm going to do mine and then his. To be completely honest about the drink, like, my favorite of the night, it's kind of a toss-up because, like... my average beer that I'd consistently drink, the Vienna Lager is probably number one. But for the purposes of tonight, the fact that the Milk Stout just kicked so hard for me in terms of something I didn't expect, I really like that. And my number three is actually the Rye Wheat. So, like, those two are top, and I'd say for tonight, definitely the Milk Stout. And then the IPA, like, I did like it, and I could drink it, but it was still an IPA on the back end. It was still an IPA.
Yeah.
So you know how I am about hoppiness, and I just was like, meh, it's still gonna, like, because a small glass, I'm like, okay, well, this is doable, but I realized that, dude, if I drink a bottle of this, by the end of it, I'm just gonna be like, where are my taste buds?
Yeah, it will knock everything out. Yeah.
And oddly enough, Steve went the same direction. Favorite, milk stout. Least favorite, was the IPA. Because, and actually he, I talked about this with him when I went in and asked him about each one. With the IPA, he was like, you know, it's just like every other IPA for me. The first two sips are really good, and then it's just fucking hoppy. And there's no way to get around it. Like, you can't get around the hoppiness.
That's just how IPAs are.
Yeah, I mean, because they're supposed to be, that's Indian Pale Ale is always just going to be like, oh, you like hops? Well, I'm just going to fucking drop hops in this for, like, days and days.
Yep.
So, general consensus from the Fulmer Foundation is that Milk Stout,
Can we get you guys, the Fulmer Foundation, to be a day sponsor on 88.5?
Here's the thing, is during high school, whenever, like, I needed, like, money for gas or something because I didn't have my wallet on me or whatever, or if somebody, like, owed me money, everybody, when they would give me money, would go, this is for the Feed the Fulmer Foundation.
Yeah.
That's cool. I remember that. Yeah. Oh, God.
So, just to throw this out there as a little quick plug, I think me and Jeff have been talking about some stuff. We're trying to get licensing in order to where we can start selling beer.
Mm-hmm.
I think prior to doing that, we might try to have some, like, fundraising events.
Mm-hmm.
Where we might throw, like, a party and have a couple kegs. You can come out, you can try the beer, you can donate some money to us trying to get licensing in order. We've been talking about trying to put a Kickstarter together. So this is something that hopefully within the next, like, 6 to 8 months is something that everybody will be able to drink. But if you're interested in that, please let us know, and we'll let you know anyway that... Once we do get something up to where we're trying to get stuff rolling, we'll let you know how you can help us out. That's all on point, right?
Yeah, if you want to have a party and you want to have a certain type of beer...
Let us know.
Contact me or Nielsen.
The podcast.
We could throw together a beer for you and, you know, as much as you want. And
also provide legal ID.
Yes.
Yes.
Please.
21.
21 and up, and a deposit on the keg would be nice.
Something that I'd like to throw in here right before we go into Drink or Drunk
already.
I mean, not Drink or Drunk, but Go Home You're Drunk, since we segued into it. One thing I want to mention that's sort of a personal thing from all of us here at the podcast. We would love it if we get a few more emails from everybody, because we haven't really been getting many in. And also, if you want to throw comments at us on any of our Facebook pages, that includes the guests, too. Like, if you want to throw it on, like... Jeff posted about us yesterday, and that's really cool, and we appreciate the shit out of that, that Jeff decided to put up the podcast information on his page, as well as us doing it, you know, being that it's ours, and we're like, fucking listen to us. But also, I think it'd be really cool, especially for those of you that listen that know us, especially if you know me, Chris, Jeff, Colin, and you've had Jeff's beers, I think it'd be really cool, and Jeff, if you're in support of this, I think this would be cool. Email suggestions for names for the beers.
Yes.
Yeah, anything.
Because that'd be
if
really
cool. If you
want
to come over to my apartment and have a beer.
No, don't put your... Don't tell people on the internet they can come over to your apartment.
Well, let
no, people
ask
that
him,
I know...
Ask him first.
You can contact me on my
Facebook. Say, have you been
Facebook.
On 4chan? That's
such a no, I'm not talking about the creepers and the weirdos out there, but if you know me, you're probably a friend on Facebook or anything.
Or
and
if
you
want to have a beer with us in public.
Or if you want to come to... You know, any of the local bars.
Half of our friend base is creepers and weirdos.
you just
yeah. negated half of
even
our friends.
Even the girls we know are like, well,
creepers and weirdos.
We're done.
True.